Well, hi there. This is a Sojourner speaking to you from the Sojourners World Hub, United States of America. We want to welcome those of you who are here and those of you who are listening around the world. We want to welcome some of you again from South America, especially from Uruguay. And we want to welcome some of you from Kenya in East Africa and from South Africa. Also, those of you who have been listening from the Far East, from Hong Kong and Taiwan, and from Japan. We welcome you to this time together, and we're going to be thinking this time on fanning the flame. And our scripture is going to come from 2 Timothy, the first chapter, and we'll start about verse 3 and go to about verse 7. And Paul is writing to Timothy here, and I will be reading from the New International Version of the Bible. And the reason I do that is because this is an international broadcast, and I want to make sure that the scripture that's read is in international English that can be easily understood by people from any country where they speak English. So, 1 Timothy 1, verse 3. I have been reminded of your sincere faith, which first lived in your grandmother Lois, and then in your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded now lives in you. For this reason I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God did not give us a spirit of timidity, but a spirit of power, of love, and of self-discipline. Notice there, Paul talks to Timothy about fanning the flame of the gift of God. Let's take a look at gifts. You know, when Paul was saying this, you know, sometimes people miss that they have gifts from God. The first gift that people have from God is the gift of life itself. Many people complain about their lives and don't like what they see in their lives or have problems, and they complain and they think they have no reason to be thankful, but in point of fact, they have the first gift from God, which is life itself. It's hard for people to appreciate sometimes if they don't realize that life was a gift. And if it was a gift, it was given to them for a reason or a purpose. Now, the gifts that Paul's talking about here are a little different than that, but I felt it was really important to take you back to realize that the very breath that you have of life is a gift from God. Every time you breathe, it is a gift from God. If you find this hard to believe, search out someone who has a disease like emphysema or lung cancer or something, who are just gasping for breath. And you'll realize what a great gift from God just breathing is. The life that's in you, the life that all people have, whether they're in God's kingdom or not in God's kingdom, this earth has people everywhere who God has given the gift of life. Now, the second gift that I want to talk about is the gift of eternal life, which comes only through Jesus Christ. There is a gift from God. Now, you say, wait a minute, you know, I live in a country where there's freedom and I can do things that other people can't do. Well, that's a part of the gift of the life that you've been given. You know, when the United States set out to be established, it prepared a document that said these sorts of words: we hold these truths to be self-evident. And it says that men are endowed by their Creator with certain inalienable gifts. Now, those are gifts that can't be taken away from them. And that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Well, where would liberty and the pursuit of happiness be without the gift of life? So, yes, I'm backing up there for a second, but I want you to understand what a wonderful gift life is that you've been given. And make no mistake about it, whatever someone's told you, you are the product of a creator. You are not an accident of biology. You are the product of a creator. That God created it all, and He created man. He created mankind, male and female. Created He them. So the gift of life, I don't care if you're depressed, if you're feeling down, if you're feeling sad, if you're upset about something, none of those things that you're able to be could you be without the gift of life. Now back to that second gift I was talking about, the gift of eternal life. Now what would separate eternal life from that first gift I said, which is the gift of life? The gift of life is a gift that's tied to time. It will come to an end. But the gift of eternal life, given only through Jesus Christ, is a gift that never ends. It doesn't just keep on giving, it just never ends. It is. And that gift has in today, in the here and now, blessings with it, because when you accept Christ, you're in God's kingdom, so therefore you have the gifts of God that He has promised, because you live in His kingdom. And He cares for those in His kingdom. Now, if you're not in that, then you do not have that second gift. You do not have the gift of eternal life if you are not in Christ, brought into the kingdom of God. Now, it's a gift you can have, but God loved us so much that He set things up in such a way as that we could make choices. We can make choices that the life that we have and enjoy may only be that temporal life. Now, there is an eternal component to that, but once a person dies, and the Scripture tells us it's appointed once to every man to die, and then the judgment, but at that judgment, those people may find themselves not spending eternity. You really can't spend eternity, because that implies that there is a beginning and an end to it, and there is. Eternity is. And so they would find themselves in a place that they were never meant to be, sharing space with beings they were never meant to share space with. Because hell would be that place, and that place was established for the devil and his angels, not for man. So God doesn't want man to go there. He wants man to accept the second gift. You know, a gift is not fully a gift until it's accepted. It's prepared as a gift. It's wrapped as a gift, perhaps, at a time that you would give a gift and wrap it. But until that gift has reached the person that it was meant for, it's really just a potential gift. It was purchased with an intention, but that intention is only carried out if a person accepts the gift. This is what we see in Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is a gift given to mankind so that they would never suffer the punishment along with Satan and his angels. But that they would, any person who would accept Christ as Lord and Savior could come into God's kingdom, receive the blessings of God, and live in the kingdom of God, not only in the here and now, but in eternity as well. Now make no mistake about it, as I said, when you accept Christ, some of those blessings come to you right then. The Scriptures say that has the righteous been seen forsaken, or their seed begging for bread in the streets. You say, well, how would I be righteous? You're righteous because Christ makes you righteous. It's not anything you did. It is a gift, my friends, a gift, a free gift that can be accepted. But a gift can also be rejected. For example, let's say that a man buys an engagement ring for someone because he wants to marry them. And he takes that ring and he offers that ring to them and they reject that ring. Then they have rejected a gift, have they not? They've rejected this offering from this person and turned away from it. You know, many times in Scripture we hear where the believers are referred to as the bride of Christ. And he comes to you right now with that gift of eternal life. If you've never accepted him, he comes to you now with that gift of eternal life, that all you need do is accept it and say, yes, I will be a part of the bride of Christ. I will be a Christian. I will be a believer. Now, what are some of the gifts then? You see, the gifts, the world would say that the gifts that come through the kingdom are unnatural gifts. They would say they are not natural. I will tell you, my friends, that spiritual things are more natural than natural things, because the natural things will disappear, but the spiritual things will never disappear. And among these various gifts that are given, the gift of the Holy Spirit, the gifts that follow through the Holy Spirit, these are gifts that come from the kingdom because Christ has become your Lord and your Savior. Now, of these gifts, you were not given a gift of being timid or shy. So I would say to you that the spirit of timidity is not yours. It's not something that comes from God. And if you have experienced that, if you're timid in talking about Christ, if you're timid in sharing your faith, then repent and share it. Because I will guarantee you there's someone out there, many out there, who need to hear your testimony about how Christ has affected your life. That's the reason that in that verse 7 there in chapter 1 of 2 Timothy, it says, for God did not give us a spirit of timidity, but a spirit of power, of love, and of self-discipline. You see, that power that comes through you if you get rid of timidity and you just do those things which can be done in the kingdom simply because you're a believer. Now, I know that there are specific gifts, and I'm not going to talk about those right now. I'm just talking about a general gift of sharing Christ with others. And with that comes a spirit of power. And when that spirit of power comes, the Father will draw the people to Him through the words that you have spoken, if you're speaking Scripture to them. In one of the places, Paul tells Timothy that he would like for him to be continually reading the Scriptures publicly, openly to people until he comes. How true. We need to be sharing Scripture with people. People need to hear Scripture from us. They need to see us behave as Scripture, and they need to hear us speaking Scripture. And they need to hear this from a position of loving and caring for these people, not condemning. Christ did not come into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. We are not here to condemn the world. We are not the judge of the world. We are here to evangelize, to bring the gospel to the people so that they have an opportunity, if they've never done it, to come into the kingdom of God through Christ. So we have been given the power to do this because the power comes into us. Our lives are changed. We are rearranged. We have new goals. We have new purposes in our life. And we have a life of self-discipline. We are given the strength to discipline ourselves. Now, discipline, you may think of as punishment. Not necessarily so. A disciple is a learner. So we can learn by controlling ourselves in such a way as to say, I will take time to be into the Scriptures. I will take time to pray. I will take time to witness to people. I will discipline myself to serve my Lord in His kingdom. There's self-discipline. And I dare say that many people who claim to be members of the body of Christ, certainly in the Western world, many of these people are not self-disciplined people. Because they're in the kingdom, but they're not growing the kingdom. The fruit of the kingdom is not showing up in them. They do not have people who have learned about Christ from them or are being taught about Christ from them. They are not self-disciplined. They want the blessings, but they don't want to share. My friends, if you have been given the gift of eternal life, share the gift. Share the knowledge of the gift. Share what the gift has done for you. Now, I'm going to touch on some other specific gifts that we've been given. I'm not going to go into them in depth. But the Scripture says that we can lay hands on people and they will be healed. Have you ever thought of enjoying the gifts of God? Just enjoy using the gifts of God? Have you ever been given a present that you've simply enjoyed? Maybe it was nothing more than some toy as a child, but you enjoyed that and you played with it and you played with it and you used it continually because you were enjoying it so much. Now, am I saying that these gifts are, that the gift of healing is a toy? Certainly not. What I'm saying is that you should enjoy it. You should enjoy watching people be healed. You should enjoy watching people be delivered when you lay hands on them and pray for them and they are delivered from some demonic force or power. Enjoy that. That's a very enjoyable experience. Enjoy it. God has given you gifts. Why? Any gift that you've given to somebody, let me ask you a question. Have you ever purchased a gift for someone, and in seeking that gift out, I mean, you've looked and looked and looked for just a special gift, for just a special thing, for this special person, for them, and I would imagine that you never once thought how miserable this gift can make them. I would say that you probably looked for the gift that you knew would be the most pleasing to them, the most pleasurable to them, the most exciting for them, something that you knew that they would like to have and enjoy. If you will do that for another, just another human being, another person, how much more do you think God would give gifts to you for you to enjoy, for you to use and utilize and employ on a regular basis? If you got a gift that was just a marvelous gift, a gift that would just accomplish so much and do so much and give you so much pleasure and give others pleasure, would you just put it in a closet someplace? Jesus said, not to hide your light under a bushel. That light is a gift. The light that comes from you, the light of Christ, the light of the kingdom of heaven that comes from you as a believer. If you got this wonderful gift that I was saying about, would you just do that? Would you just take it and put it in a closet someplace? Never pull it out, never use it. And then go tell the person every time you saw the person how much you loved the gift they gave you and how much you enjoyed the gift they gave you, and they might be so excited that you did. But then one day they're visiting at your home and they find out that it's dusty someplace in the back of a closet. I wonder, my friend, how God might feel about us when we've done pretty much the same thing with some of the gifts that He's given us? We just put them in the back of our minds, in the back of our existence, in the back of our experience someplace. Oh, it's there. But we've been timid about it. We've been undisciplined. We've not been self-disciplined to use it. We've been undisciplined. We've been timid. We've not enjoyed the power that comes with the Holy Spirit to not only work in our lives, but work through our lives to the benefit of others and the building of the kingdom of God. I don't mean to discourage you, and I don't mean to make you feel like I'm taking you to a woodshed behind some place to punish you here. But I want you to really think about the gifts that you've been given, and are you enjoying everything the Scripture says that's been given you by God through Christ? And if you're not, my friend, my suggestion is begin to. Do not be timid. Enjoy the power that comes through the Holy Spirit in touching your life and the lives of others and those around you, in your own home, in your neighborhood, in your city, in your county, in your state, in your country, your province, your district, wherever you happen to be in the world. Bring the joy of the Lord. What a gift. The joy of the Lord in itself is a great, great gift. Bring this into your life. Recognize that it's there. You say, well, I haven't been very joyful. Use the gifts. Watch the power of God move. Jesus said He would never leave you or forsake you. He said, seek and you'll find, and ask and you'll be given. There are some things that we've been given that we hardly ever use. You know, sometimes people have, in America, people have things called yard sales or garage sales, where they take things they haven't used for very long, and at one time might have been very important to them. And they put it out in front of their home and they sell it as people come by, and people buy it for much less than the price that was ever paid for it. Now that reflects what they feel the value now is. Now they say that it's something that's been used, but maybe it's been hardly used at all. I would say to you, has the relationship with Christ and the gifts that have been given to you through Christ, have they been reduced to yard sale value to you? Are they things that you packed away someplace and then just kind of pulled out and said, well, you know, that was exciting at one time when I got it, but it's of no use to me now, or I'm not involved with it now? We must from time to time search ourselves and search our thinking. And when we find that, rather than be condemned, because believe me, the enemy will come to you, and I'll tell you how to tell the difference between when the enemy comes to you and the Holy Spirit comes to you. In times like that, when you realize that you've missed it, the devil will come to you and tell you what a lousy person you are, how horrible you are, how bad you are, how could you call yourself a Christian, how could you ever do anything for God? When that happens, you know that's the devil. Because when the Holy Spirit comes, the Holy Spirit will simply say, you need to use that. You need not to do that. You need to do this. The Holy Spirit will simply correct you without demeaning you. But when the devil comes, he will make you feel like the lowest creature on the face of the earth. Why? To discourage you. When the Holy Spirit comes, the Holy Spirit will say, don't do that, but then encourage you to serve and to work in the kingdom. That's a sure way to tell the difference with what the Spirit is. You know, the Scriptures tell us to test the spirits. It doesn't tell us to test people. It says test the spirits. We need to test those spirits. And if you find yourself where you realize, boy, I have missed the mark. I have not enjoyed fully the gifts that God has given me. But I repent, Heavenly Father. I will enjoy them now. And then just pick up right where you are and get involved with those gifts. Don't be timid. Step out there and let God show you. And when I say don't be timid, I don't mean just try it some one way and say, well, now nobody got too mad at me. I mean get out there and do it. Give God multiple opportunities to show Himself faithful to His Word. Oh, you know, the world will tell you you cannot prove that God exists. I tell you, my friends, with the gifts of the Spirit, you can prove that God exists. Don't let the world dictate what the meaning of Scripture. Let Scripture dictate the meaning of Scripture. Let the Spirit of God in you dictate the meaning of Scripture as it ties in to the written word, so that you know how to step out, you know how to do, you know what to do next. I want to encourage you with this. I don't want to discourage you with this. I want to encourage you that you can touch the lives of people and the Holy Spirit will move through you and you will be blessed and gifted again. Because remember, when you give a gift from God away, healing, deliverance, whatever, you don't have less. In God's kingdom, nothing is ever depleted. Nothing ever runs dry. Nothing is ever left empty, but full of His glory and His goodness, and His power. I hope this encourages you. I hope this message has caused you to think, well, just where am I? You know, if we don't examine ourselves every now and then to figure out where we are, we'll just sit someplace and rot, frankly. We've got to find out, okay, well, where am I right now? How does that relate to the gifts that God's given me? Have I unwrapped those gifts? And if I have unwrapped them, have I ever used them? And if I haven't used them, I need to use them. I don't need to give them away, throw them away, or ignore them. But I need to be in there using them, enjoying them. I'm telling you, the joy of the Lord comes in even greater abundance with the using of the gifts that He's given you. Joy is a gift. And using His gifts will bring excitement, power, so much positive into your life. You'll realize that anything can be overcome through the power of God by simply using the gifts you have been given in His kingdom. Well, that's my message for this session. As I said, if you find yourself falling short there in an area, repent. And if you've repented and you want to know more about that, contact us. Contact me, the Sojourner, at sojournershub.org in an email. Go to our website, sojournershub.org, look around. Send us an email. We'd love to hear from you. Many people send us prayer requests. We're happy to pray for you. If you've never accepted Christ, the same thing for you. Send me an email, the Sojourner, at sojournershub.org. Go to our website, ask for prayer, contact us with an email. We'll be glad to work with you and help you. We want you to enjoy all the gifts and all the blessings, because gifts are that. Gifts are blessings that God has given you. So now, my friend, let me give you this blessing as this time together comes to a close. The blessings of our Lord on you and all that is yours, my blood, adoption, or assignment, in the mighty name of Jesus, amen.